Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk twice weekly podcast for needlework stitcher people.
People?
Yeah, them.
Us.
Yeah, for us. Yeah, let's do it just for us, yeah. Tonight, Ronnie Rowe joins us. So Ronnie Rowe is a designer, did a show with him a while ago. Really does some unique cross-stitch designs. So he's going to join us tonight. He's got some new stuff to show us, and we'll get to talk with him. So 8 o'clock Eastern time on the Stitch Hour YouTube channel, Ronnie Rowe. So that's going to be fun.
He does neat things. His designs are so unique. I just love them.
Yeah, there's nobody does anything like him.
No.
Yeah, no. He is that. So join us tonight, 8 o'clock, for that. And then do not forget the sampler, Mary Jane Fry, 1861, that Amanda Rowe, the solitary stitcher, has made available to us. And you can download that. That's free. It's free. It's a beautiful little sampler for free. WeTalkFiber.com/MJF for Mary Jane Fry, MJF 1861. And you get it for free. And, you know, fire off a thing to Amanda and say thanks, because that was very kind of her to do that.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Next this Sunday is Trish Burr. Do not want to miss that one. Nope.
No, that'll be good.
Don't want to miss that one. Trish Burr, we talked about, majority of the show is talking about her Q embroidery designs book, her newest book that she did based on illustrations that she saw at the Q Gardens, the Royal Botanical Gardens in England. And so we get to learn all about what went on behind that and how she got it done and so on and so forth. And it's a marvelous book. Highly recommend people buy it. So we'll have Trish Burr on Sunday. And then next Wednesday, Jennifer and I are going to yak and stitch, because unless you're going to be around, but you're not going to be around, so...
I don't know if I'm around or not yet. That's still to be determined, but we'll see.
Okay, well, if Beth's around, she's going to join us. So there you have that. And then on the 21st, the podcast is with Emily Ferris, young lady from England, needle painting, embroidery. And then at 2 o'clock on the 21st, 2 o'clock Eastern time on the 21st on our YouTube channel, we'll have a special live show with Emily. So we'll get to see some of her work and chat with her, and... so we'll have a podcast and a live show with Emily on Sunday the 21st, which will be fun. Yeah.
Yes. And go stalk her on Instagram. She does beautiful things.
Yeah. Doesn't she? Huh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She's talented. Started stitching in 2013.
Yeah. So not very long.
How's that? Huh? Yeah. Check her stuff out and then keep that in mind. Started in 2013, with a needle thread and a pillowcase, I think it was. Yeah. Yeah. Check her out. That's a borderline prodigy status there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And then we have a new thing with Sassy Jacks, the Cosmo Thread Club. Have you already purchased?
Yeah,
me too.
And I noticed she had a variegated one too.
Yes. So 20 skeins per month of Cosmo thread for $21 plus shipping. And Kim's in North Carolina, I'm in Chicago, and so my shipping was $4. So I'm getting 21 skeins for $25. And then if you use the code FT for Fiber Talk, FT Cosmo, COSMO, you get 5 Fiber Talk Blues skeins for free with your first order. So you'll get 25 skeins with your first order just by using FT Cosmo. It doesn't change the price. When you put that in, it doesn't change the price. It just tells Kim to put 5 blue skeins in. And they're different blues. It's not five royal blues. They're different blues, yeah. So we have that. And then she also is offering the same thing with the Cosmo variegated threads. And so that is WeTalkFiber.com/Cosmo Variegated. So WeTalkFiber.com/Cosmo, COSMO, will get you the solid colors. And then WeTalkFiber.com/Cosmo Variegated, VARIEGATED, will get you the same deal with variegated threads from Cosmo. Now, did you go with variegated?
I went with both. course.
Look at you.
I love variegated thread. So I had to get them.
Haul out that willpower.
Yes. Yeah, none, none. And I'm bobbinating threads at my house now. And it's like, okay, yeah, like I need more threads, like I need a hole in my head. But you know, they're beautiful and they're wonderful to stitch with. And I'm just like,
Yeah,
yeah, might as well.
it really is a nice thread. Yeah. So check that out. WeTalkFiber.com/Cosmo or slash Cosmo Variegated will get you to Kim's page for the deal. And that's 20 skeins per month, basically until she's sent you the entire line or until you stop, one or the other. For $21, 20 skeins for $21 plus shipping. And then FT Cosmo, the first time, gets you five FiberTalk Blues skeins. So that's a good deal. Yep. I'm collecting those, one, because I like the thread, but also I'm going to collect them because I have a ton of samplers, charts. And so I'm looking at that I might take one of those and do one all in Cosmo threads.
That's a good idea. I was just thinking about Mary Jane Fry, and I
Duh.
meant to look.
There it is, right there.
You know, how big it, I don't think it's that big, is it?
No, it's not real big. I want to say like 12 inches on the long side at 35 count, something like that.
Well, that would be nice. And it's such a pretty little sampler, and you could choose your own colors for it.
Yeah.
Just pull some.
Because I think when Jennifer counted them up, there were like eight or nine colors is all there
Yeah.
was. So it's not a huge thing. Yeah.
I just gotta go dig through the stash and see what sort of fabric I have.
My
Although
guess
I
is
bet Kim could sit. Kim could
you
set
have
us
some
up.
options.
Me? Well, maybe.
That's my
Probably.
guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is you have some options you don't remember you have. That's my guess.
Your guess is probably correct.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You win the prize.
that's going to be my guess right there.
Yeah.
Yep. That's going to be my guess. Oh, I forgot I had this. So there we go. That's a good deal from Sassy Jack. So hit Kim up for that, and get on the list to get the threads, get the Cosmo threads, start collecting them. It's a nice thread, and yeah, you won't regret it.
No,
There we
they're
go.
just lovely to stitch with. Lovely.
Okay, now sore subject is the 100-day project.
Yes.
Because now we're a week plus from the start. The start was the 31st, and quite frankly, I'd forgotten. I didn't get started right away, and I'd forgotten. So now I see this in the notes. All right, I need to start even late. I need to start. So
Yes.
have you kept up?
Yes,
Of course you
I
have.
have. Because it's only the first 2 weeks, you know. It when it gets hard is going to be come March. Is going to be the hard month to keep up with, to be honest. But I'm almost done with my first project for the 100-day project, which makes me extraordinarily happy.
Wow.
I'm stitching on gifts for family and friends because I had a whole bunch of things in my head that I wanted to do, and I never would take the time to work on them. So I've been stitching away. My daughter had a sweatshirt she wanted stitched. And I said, okay, that's my first project. So I've been embellishing a sweatshirt for a college student.
So that's what you're going to do for your 100 days. You've got this list of gifts that you're going to work on.
Right. And it's all stitching related. So my sons don't listen to this, so I can say this. There's an artist we follow. His name I think is Don Moyer. And his art is odd, to say the least, and they love it. And I thought, you know, if I blow this up and trace it, I can stitch something for them. So I contacted him. He was the artist, and I said, hey, I want to do this. I'm going to post it on Instagram and on my blog. Are you fine with this? And he goes, have fun. So that's going to be the next project in the works, and that'll be I'll trace it, I'll put it on a piece of Kona cotton. Stitch it and then make it into something for my boys. So
That's pretty
But it's
cool.
mainly, yeah, and it's and to for me, it's like, okay, I've got to think about, well, what stitches am I going to use? It's more than just following a pattern, and that's what makes it a little bit more creative. And one of the reasons I had been putting it off is, oh, that's much more work than just going and grabbing a pattern and following the direction.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, we talked about Trish Burr and I talked about that a little bit, getting permission from artists. And she finds that a lot of them are reluctant to just flat out no to having their art reproduced or remade in embroidery or really in any medium, which is interesting to me.
So they don't want it, or they
No, they
do want
don't. They don't want it. Can I take your piece, this piece, and redo it as embroidery? No.
it.
No, I don't want to be represented by anything other than oil painting, watercolors, whatever.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that you asked an artist and they gave you permission.
Right. And he said, yeah, just have fun. And of course, when I get to posting that, I will tag him in it, and I will send people to his site and say, this is his artwork. It's not mine. I am just taking it and doing something with it. Because that's that, and I would never take it and say, let's say people say, oh, that's a cool design. I'd be like, yeah, you need to go contact the artist, because that's his, not mine.
No, I was really surprised. I would thought she would get almost zero resistance, but apparently it goes the other way. Majority don't want to. So that's, good that you got to go ahead with that.
I'm and his stuff lends itself to, because it's just sketches, so it's like a line drawing, and so it is so. The minute I saw them, I was like, oh, that would be so fun to stitch.
Cool. Okay, well, that gets to an item. All right. So Jane Dunnewald was our guest this past Sunday. All right. Go listen to that because several people have commented how much they got out of that show. But this past Saturday, the 6th, Jane and her daughter at 2 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central Time, 2 o'clock Central Time on their Facebook page, did a live show where they're doing, it was the first one, they're doing the cornerstones of creativity. And Beth and I listened in. The first one was curiosity. And Beth and I were there and can't wait for this Saturday for the next one because it was exceptional. But out of that, we both made notes. Like I said to Beth, said to you, I was just going to sit there and stitch and have it on in my left ear, over on
Me
the
too.
table, and I wasn't. And it wasn't very few minutes into it, and I had my little notebook that I keep at my stitching table and a pen out and started making notes, and the stitching had to wait. Really good. But you put down. We both made notes, so they're both on this sheet of things that we have to talk about. But the one that you put down that stopped me was, why do I feel I need to do a project versus just playing?
And she just, when she just it struck a chord, because I thought, I have very few things that I've started that I'm just like, this is just play. It almost always has to be a project. And I'm like, what's the deal here? I play in other areas. I have art journals that they're ever finished, or if my kids take, I'm dead, and my kids take one look and they toss them all, it's not a big deal. It's just like, it's literally for me just to go and throw paint, put paper in, and whatever. But I don't do that with my needlework. I don't just play. Even the 100-day project, which should be very, very, it's supposed to be pushing your creativity. I had to have my daughter's sweatshirt. It has to have a purpose, and I'm afraid to make a mistake on it. And she had given me total permission. She goes, put whatever you want on. Go crazy, Mom. But can I? No, I'm using monochromatic on some on the part I'm stitching on now because I'm afraid. Oh, what if I make a mistake and she hates it?
Yep.
It's just needle and thread. She could rip it out, actually.
Right.
She
Yeah.
really hated it, you
Rip
know.
it out, wash the thing and wouldn't know the difference. Yep.
Right.
But see
But
that one really stuck with me because that follows up on the stream of consciousness stitching we were talking about here a couple of weeks ago. And I mean I just stopped because where is it written that you must have a project?
right.
And why do you feel compelled? Why? Why not just fiddle around and
Right.
learn?
Right. And the one time I did do that, I mean I can see the project now. And people were like, someone had given me a piece of cloth. It had magenta circles on it. She hated it. I loved it. I grabbed it. And all I did on it was in the little circles, I did stitches. And I just the only th rule I made was they had to be, I think I tried to do different stitches in each of the circles. And someone said, well, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, it's still living in my basement. Do with it. I did what I was going to do with it. I'm done with it. It's done. I
Yep.
don't have to do anything to it now.
Yeah.
That's the last time I remember playing with a project. It's not even a project. It was just a piece of cloth to play with.
And see, I would suggest that maybe even 50% of our time, but certainly 30 to 40% of our time, we should be doing that. Just working on things, seeing how they behave, seeing how it comes out, trying different threads, all those threads that everybody has stacked up.
Right.
How does this thread look? How does this look next to this one? Learn about color behavior, learn about different stitches, all those things. With no pressure to deliver a finished project that you can hold up and say, look at how cool that is. So why don't we do that?
I think it's well, and I had someone ask me the other day, well, actually, my mother-in-law, who's a wonderful, sweet lady, she saw me stitching on Anya's day, and she said, "So you're just going to work on that till it's finished?" And I think it's that pressure from outside. And someone had else had asked me that about a month ago. They saw me stitching on something and said, "So when are you going to finish that?" And so there's this pressure to get those projects that we've started
Right.
finished, so we don't give ourselves permission to play.
Yet that's what is at the core of the hobby is to enjoy and have fun and basically play. Yet
Right.
we strap ourselves down with a project and can't budge till that's done.
Right. And we becomes to the point where are you having fun? Is this fun? Or are you just trying to get through this project so you can start your next one?
Right.
And I'm like, in fact, we're working on that 17th century whitework sampler.
Yes.
And I've made a mistake and I have to go and rip out a whole section. And it's stop me on that silly thing. And I'm like, okay, so I keep thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so do you like it? And I'm like, yeah, I like it. So why aren't you working on it? Well, because I got to go back and rip. And I don't know if I want to do the stitch. I'm even thinking of, must be nuts, but changing it to the Montenegrin stitch instead of the stitch that's in there because I have grafts to stitch it that way.
Yeah, that's borderline
And
insanity, but whatever.
But my reason for that is I need to learn that stitch I need to learn for another piece. And this is a smaller section
Right.
of stitching. So for me, it would be, but again, it's a project. Why can't I just, I don't know.
Yeah, why don't you just grab a piece of cloth and start doing Montenegrin stitches and up and down and around and twisted and everything else? And then when you get done, you throw it away because you learned something.
Yeah, I don't know. Because that would be wasting my time. It wouldn't be working on my project.
Yeah, but see,
It wouldn't
that's
be a
what's
waste
so
of
silly
time.
about it is it's not wasting your time. You're furthering your
No.
skills.
Right. But it's this mental block that, so what's that, people, who's like, so what's that going to be? It's nothing. I'm doodling, I'm practicing. And when she said that, that's the other thing. I thought about kids and learning music. All my children learned to play piano, and my husband plays guitar. I'm the only non-musical in the house. And when they first started, I did not expect them to sit down and play Mozart. They were, and then it was wrong and it was horrible, and it took time. But I didn't expect a masterpiece when they first started.
Nobody does.
Why? No. But why do I expect that from my needlework when I'm learning something new? Why do I expect that one, stitch that I've never done before? Why do I expect it to be perfect the first time?
And yet we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, go figure that out.
Oh, I win a prize.
Because nobody goes to play any sport for the first time and expects to do it at the professional level. Nobody expects to play Mozart out of the gate. Those take years and years of work. So, yet we pick up a whatever and expect to do it perfectly the first time, needlework. And no.
No. And even just to give ourselves permission to say, okay, so this isn't perfect this time. Next time I'm going to do it a little, I've got to practice my tension, or okay, yeah, I've learned this. Like even for this, I've used the thread we're using for the 17th century, which is Sois Paris. And I have to hold that thread because of the way I twist my threads. I have to hold it underneath tight while I put in the next stitch. And that's the only way I can keep my tension even halfway decent. I don't know what you guys are doing on it, but for me, but I learned that over time.
But see, and that's adding to your skill level, your techniques.
Right.
'Cause the next time you encounter a thread like that, you know that you personally, I don't have to 'cause it stitched just fine for me, but but
Yeah.
you know when you pick up a thread that's similar to that, slippery and so on, you know now what to do with that because of what you've learned from the sampler. And the other thing is keeping those swatches, binding them together in some kind of a little journal and making some notes. Or taking a picture and making some notes. This I did this, and remember to do these things with the Montenegrin stitch when you turn this corner and turn this corner. And my tension is all off here, and I learned why because I did this and this. Why not make some notes that help you the next time?
Right. And I think it's just a matter of allowing myself the time. We all have the, same amount of time, but allowing myself the time to say, this is okay. You're learning. It's practice. It doesn't need to be perfect. But that's hard
And I
too.
don't, how do you get that mindset going amongst the stitching community that it's okay to do that, and as a matter of fact, it will do you good to do that?
And even because I'm thinking of basket weave right now, and the faces for Gay Ann Rogers pieces, they require to get the tension, at least you have to have at least fairly decent even tension to get those faces to look right. And the only way to do that is to do a little bit of practice before you work on the face. And her piece, the portrait, the Elizabeth one, is the only time I really used a doodle cloth, because I realized I was having problems with tension on it, and I had to stop and practice, and then immediately went and worked on it. And it made a huge difference, but I never do that on anything else. And it's because I don't want to take the time. It seems like such a waste. I don't only have so much time, and it's, but it's not. It made the piece come out much better.
Yeah. So worth it, and worth it, because then you didn't have to pull it out three times to get it just right.
Right. Right. Well, because I'd already pulled it out twice, and then I started the dough. So how much time did I waste?
Yeah. Yeah.
By not just doing, because she did. She said, do this. Use the doodle cloth I sent you. She even sends it with her kits, like
yeah,
for her big kit. So it's worthwhile to
yeah,
take the time to do it. But no, you know, again, I've heard people say it's, you know, I have so much I want to stitch. I don't have time. I don't have time to do practice on the doodle cloth. I'm just going to do it.
You know, I mean, we're talking about this, and yet we both do it. So do it that way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not like we're standing over everyone saying, do it our way, not your way, because we're the same.
No, yeah.
Do you,
and go ahead.
Do you warm up? Do you do stitches on the side to get warmed up?
No. No.
But do and, you, okay, then follow-up question. Do you notice that the first 15 or 20 stitches aren't as good and your rhythm isn't as good as they are stitches 30 through 50?
Yes. In fact, I, on Spring Hill, I was looking at it and I was like, I got tired. It was like toward the end of my stitching and I looked at it and I'm like, that has to come out. It's bugging me. I mean like just six stitches, but I obviously had gotten tired and hadn't. It just did not look good and
yeah,
it needed to come. So yeah, no, I don't. I don't take the time to do that.
Cause neither do I. I'm just, you know, it's just the question. Neither do I, but see, there's, yeah, there are ends of the spectrum in any stitching session where you're not as good at the beginning and you're not as good at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So can you be smart enough to warm up at the beginning to eliminate those bad stitches and then smart enough to know when your eyes are starting to cross and you need to stop at the end
right,
to eliminate those bad stitches?
Right. And even let's say you're doing like Spring Hill's cross stitch. And I have been tired lately. I haven't been really felt like stitching on that. It's small count, and so to be honest, I've been bobbinating DMC at night, and because, but I found it. I did it for a little while. I would do like five or six skeins, and I would relax enough, say, okay, I can pick up a needle and thread now.
Mm-hmm.
I passed that tired, exhaustion, stress point. I don't know how else to describe it. And then you kind of feel like, okay, I can take a breath and I can start stitching. My guess is if I picked up a needle and thread and doodled or done something on a doodle cloth, anything, then it would have done the same thing, kind of relaxed me.
Yeah.
Because especially with needlepoint, I notice my, if I'm very tense, I pull my stitches too much where I'm warping. I can warp the
mm-hmm,
the canvas.
Yep.
And I have to watch. Or Congress cloth actually is worse than 18 count. But I just have to be careful for that.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to make me pull up that doodle cloth that I saw downstairs. So even all framed up and ready to go.
Yeah. So it's just an interesting human nature thing that those little things would make your project a better, would give your project a better result.
Right.
If right, you would do it, but none of us does it. Or a few of us. I'm sure there are who yep, do. Like, I'm sure Gay Ann Rogers does.
Right.
I have no doubt in my mind that she does. But, you know, she's one in a million.
Right.
But then it shows, you know, it shows in the work. It's gorgeous. You know,
right,
go ahead, study one of her projects up close, you know, see,
yeah,
it's just perfection all the way across. Well, yeah, because She's put in her, what is it, 10,000 hours to really become, yeah, she's probably got 30,000 hours in, yeah.
All right. And
Yeah.
I think it's hard to take that time to do it, especially if you only have limited time, an hour or so. But even I think you're right. I think I'm going to have to try to remember to do that. I on Spring Hill has a huge margin around, and maybe even just, have a needle piece threaded and just kind of put a few X's, because my eyes adjust too
Yeah,
to
there's
that
another
45
part.
count.
Yep, there's another part of it. Yep.
And I know when I first start, I'm looking for my threads. I'm looking for, okay, where's the hole? Where am I supposed to go? But then after a while, it's like, oh yeah, there it is. And it doesn't take long at all.
And that's the other part of it. There's huge margins. There's 3 inches on all four sides that are going to be covered by frame or cut off.
Right.
That we never make use of, yet there it is for us. Doodle cloth right there. Yeah.
And wouldn't that be fun? 100 years from now, someone opens your frame up and there's your doodling on the side. They're like, what in the world's going on over here?
Just playing. Just playing. Yeah.
Just playing, just learning how to do this.
Yeah, it was,
Especially
yeah.
those Algerian eyes, eyelets, they're going to need, because you'll need to, those will definitely need to be practiced because you got to make sure you get the right tension on it.
Right. The right tension, and you want all the holes to be very close to the same. So that takes a little practice. How much do I pull? Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting how we as humans get trapped in these things. And yet then we all you'll look at somebody like Gayanne Rogers and go, "Wow, how if I could stitch like her." Well, you can. It just takes a lot and it takes work, just like learning how to play Mozart. You gotta practice at it. But we don't view needlework as something you practice at to get better at. Yet, if you look back at schoolgirl samplers, what were those practice pieces?
Learning
Developing it,
stitches.
yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Many of them very impressive practice pieces, but practice pieces nonetheless.
Right. And I think too, you learn as you go, and that's the idea behind it, is to keep, to keep learning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that see I to me that's I'm well you and I are of like minds there. That's For me, what's fun about needlework is the opportunity to learn so many different things and to try them and to experience them. And but for some people, they're fine just doing ornaments, cross stitch ornaments till, the cows come home. And that's the hobby for them. And more power to them. That's great. But to me, any of these things, if I can't advance the cause in some way or try something that I haven't done before just to experience it, then it kind of loses the fun for me.
Right. And even just learning different ways to finish things sometimes is, you learn that way. But I like learning the different stitches, the different techniques,
Yeah.
and seeing what happens. What if I try this? What
Yeah.
if I, use a different thread, use more tension, less tension, whatever. It
Right.
just, I like it. I like learning that stuff.
Yeah, that even though I've only done 3/4 of a row, that's the 17th century whitework sampler thing that we're doing, is all of the stitches just in the first sampler. All the different things that you do in that one small sampler, and that's just the beginning. And even within that sampler, look how many different things that we're doing with different threads, and it's a sampler, it's a learning tool. And Beth shouldn't be tearing things out if they're wrong because it's a learning tool.
The only problem is I have to tear out because it's Mike, I don't think the little pansies will fit in there. Because I thought about leaving it. That was the other question. Should I just leave the silly thing in there? No, it's got to come out. That's
Yeah.
sad.
But see, okay, that's another thing. That's another thing. If you're going to do an educational class like that, and you're going to create projects, should there be a loose rule that says you can't tear it out?
I think to a certain degree. I mean, I did rip I ripped all of it out at one point. I started it, I got the first three rows in. Every time I looked at it, I hated it. And I was like, okay, it's just gotta come out. So I did. I ripped it all out and I start again and I love it now. I love the colors because I changed the colors on mine. But my problem is I don't think all the motifs will fit in to where I've made a mistake. So, because it is a learning piece, I have, but that's why I keep thinking maybe I should just rip it out and practice my Montenegrin on there. Because it is long runs of Montenegrin in it. And that would be good for me because I need to practice that stitch and it'd be a place to practice it.
And see, I'm going to come back to you with a Gay Ann Rogers. All right, you put it in wrong. What are you going to do to fix it and make it work? Rather than ripping it out, what are you going to do to make it work? How are you going to change those pansies so they fit?
Well, I think the pansies will fit, but the leaves wouldn't fit. Maybe I
Well,
should just
either
not
way,
put the leaves in.
how are you
Maybe
gonna
not put, maybe, and then just keep moving on.
are you gonna make a different leaf? What are you gonna
Oh,
do
now you've
to,
really challenged me,
but
Gary.
you
You've really
see,
challenged me.
that's, but see,
I see,
that's what,
now I'm glad I haven't ripped it out.
but that's what Gayanne would say to you.
Yes.
Don't rip it out. What are you gonna do to make it work?
That's a good thought.
Yeah, see.
Because I see, and because I dreaded ripping it out because I had gotten all the way to the other edge. You know, when you get to an end of a band and you get both it, and I thought I was right, and then I was wrong. It was just so disappointing.
Yeah. But see, it's not going to a state fair.
No.
You know, it's going to go in a drawer. There's no way you're framing it.
No. No.
So then it's a learning tool. Learn from it.
Right. And then, because there's another, the next band under it is a continuation of that stitch. It's a little bit more complicated. So, what I'll probably do is do what you're suggesting, put the pansies in, modify the leaves, see if I can get them something to fit in there, or leave them off. Just leave the leaves off. And then, when I get to the next band, get a piece of cloth out, get that 30 count that came in the kit, and practice that band on the 30 count.
See,
With
I, you know, that's
DMC floss with one strand.
right. You don't care. Yeah, cheap thread that you don't care. Not expensive silk, but yep, just
Oh, see, now talking this out has made it so much better. Now I'm going to have to take a little note here.
Well, you know, and I say that, and I'm saying it to me as much as you, because I'm, you know, same for me. You know, and I there's a it's kind of a to me it's kind of like breaking through a little piece of glass to do that and give yourself permission to not slavishly follow the pattern, but to learn to adapt to what to the error you made. And can maybe you can even make it better.
Right.
You
And
know?
I don't know if I can make it better, but I would give someone else permission to do that. Why can't I give myself permission to do that? I would say, so just fudge it. It doesn't fit. Is it don't redo it, don't rip it out. Just keep going. Yeah. But I like that idea. I like and then because we do have a fabric for a doodle cloth in that kit.
We
And I
got
might as well use it.
we got enough fabric in that kit for 15 projects. Come on.
I know. I know. It's
So
great.
it's not like you got to scrimp to get done.
No.
And there's enough thread in there for, you know, all of us. So
Yes.
what are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be a learning sample. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah.
So,
So okay, well, that basically that's it. We need to we you and I, but we as a community need to adjust our thinking when it comes to these things and ultimately become better stitchers, more versatile stitchers as a result, because that's what's going to come out of it. Yeah.
okay, and now you got me, and now I'm gonna take you way, way back. Remember Royal Garden?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I was thinking about mine, and I didn't like the way I placed. It's like one of those rows around. I put the green in there, and I didn't place it exactly right. And I have thought about going back and ripping it out. And I think that was why that one's living in my basement, because I keep thinking about it. But now you made me think, what if I go back over those stitches with another thread? And just to add some, I don't even remember what stitch that is that I didn't like that's on there. Not I like the stitch, but I didn't like what I did with how I manipulated the thread. But I'm just thinking, what if I added like a Krynex sparkle over the top of all of it? And just to unify it, just to make that so that one area, it didn't bother me. Maybe that would help it.
Yeah, go to Karen Dudzinski's multi-layered designs and see what she does. Maybe a grid over the top or something. Yeah, any number of things. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And but it but it's more like it's like giving yourself permission to play with it a little bit.
Yep. And again, no one's going to judge that. I guarantee you, Debbie Rowley couldn't care less what you did, and a matter of fact, would applaud you for that. So it's not like the designer's going to get mad at you. She's going to applaud you, and then you'll learn something, and it then it's more yours. It's your design, your piece. Yeah, it's just an interesting human dynamic that prevents us from doing that.
And I think it's a combination of fear of doing it wrong, and I'm using air quotes, I made him, I'm going to do it exactly like it's designed,
Yeah.
or if not, it's wrong. And just giving yourself permission just to play with it a little bit.
Yep.
And as much as I'd like to say, let's play, I don't normally give myself that permission on things like this. I've kind of gotten to this like rigid, I've got to follow the pattern exactly.
But then you'll go to your dye buckets and you'll dye stuff 15 different ways till you get what you like. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, I'm even thinking about
Go ahead and
I'm
explain that
coloring
to
them.
me.
Yeah, I'm even thinking my daughter's sweatshirt has a section in it that is not exactly the way I want it. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I could put a little more color on there.
See? And then you'll go to your needlework and you're afraid to change anything. Makes no sense. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
The other thing that the thing I took that really hit me, and what made me stop stitching and start making notes, was with Jane Dunnewald's thing, was the question of curiosity. And what happens to our and curiosity defined as asking the question, what if? And when does that stop? So, like, the first note I made was a statement that Jane made. We can become so certain of things that we're no longer curious. We sit there and make X's and follow a pattern like little robots, and we never stop to think, what if I did this, that, or the other thing? See, it comes to the same thing. And your curiosity just kind of withers away, I guess. But then see, I'll go back to your dyeing. But then you'll pull out some dyes and some cloth, and it snowed last night, and you'll do snow dyeing just to see what happens.
Right. And how will these colors mix? And yeah, so what if I don't know what I'm going to do with the piece of cloth? That's all right. It was, the whole process was just way too much fun. I've got to go do it again.
And so then I ask you, how do you live with yourself?
The question really is, how does my husband live with me?
Well,
But, and I think, you know, she made a statement which made me think about, because I homeschooled my kids, and they always ask that question, why? And we as adults tend to lose that curiosity. And so when I homeschooled, I always allowed my kids, when they asked, well, what about this? We would go and explore it. You know, mm-hmm. that was the fun part of homeschooling, you know. And as adults, we tend not to do that anymore. Get locked into this mindset, well, it's always been done this way, so this is the way we need to do. And it just, no. And I keep looking at Spring Hill, and there's that section in the bottom that looks like it should be satin stitched. Every time I look at the pattern, at the picture, and I really think I'm going to do at least part of the hill in satin stitch. Why not? Why not try it? Yep. You know, what's the worst that can happen? I have to rip it out. You know, it just doesn't work. You know, it's too thick or something. That's the only reason I could think of that it wouldn't.
Yeah.
But enhance the pattern.
What's the harm?
Yeah. Right. And it should work.
Yep. No, but I know what you mean. I used to, when I was teaching high school science, used to drive those kids nuts. You know, what's basically, they would ask the question, you know, what's the answer to this question? Well, let's think about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Let's look at what it says in the book, and let's see if we can figure that out. And, you know, time and time again, will you just give me the answer so I can write it down? No, I'm not going to give you the answer you can write it down. No, because that's not the purpose of the science class, to memorize a bunch of facts. I could just give you a list of facts and tell you to memorize them, but that's not the purpose of science. It's to look, it's to study, it's to analyze,
right.
You know?
Right.
And, there's that famous in chemistry class, usually it's done in chemistry class. The first lab that you do is to light a candle and then write down observations. That's like, you know, the first one. I think it's a big part of it is it's an easy lab to prep for at the beginning of a school year, but lazy teachers, but it really isn't. It's a really effective lab, because if you stop, instead of looking at it as a stick of wax and a flame with a piece of string in the middle, and start to analyze that and make observations about it. You know, where does the flame color change? What does that mean? Why does the wick not just burn right down through the middle? Mm-hmm. You know, when does the wax start to melt? How does it flow off? You know, how much light goes down into the wax from the candle? You know, all those observations, where does the wax cool off? At what point down the candlestick does the way, you know, all of those things. And that's where that curiosity comes in. And you try to establish that in science, because you want people, you want the kids, as they're doing other labs, to start looking around and start asking those what if questions. And yet then you come to needlework and we don't, but you're right. We, as adults, that just gets driven out of us.
Right. That curiosity.
Yeah.
That curiosity. And I think, you know, it's just opening our eyes, you know, and looking around us. I think sometimes, looking at color combinations that are in nature. I think when you talked about Trish Burr, her color confidence book, is a wonderful, resource. But you look at nature and you say, okay, why do those colors, why am I drawn to those colors versus not so much to those, and in applying that to your needlework, or trying different threads. I noticed that I always use, not always, most of the time, I use a single or two plies of DMC if I'm doing any sort of surface embroidery. And I watched Ariane Zurcher, who we interviewed a while back, and she was using six strands. And I was like, wait a second. Why do I feel like I have to keep my stuff so tiny and thin? It's because what if I make a mistake? Then you won't see it as much than if it's a thinner thread than if it's, and she's just like bold, just do it. Just let the threads sing. And it made me stop and just think about that. Why don't I just play with the weights of my threads and see, wouldn't, that's a fun experience. Why don't, do one strand, then two strands, and three strands. I mean, because I love how DMC or the Cosmos, I can't wait till we get those in to play with those. How do they lay? If I do this stitch, if I do a detached chain versus doing a French knot with six strands, just those simple stitches and just playing with that. Why don't I give myself permission to do that?
I
Because
don't
I don't know.
know. I don't know. Yeah. Because it was, that whole session with Jane just got me. I mean, still now here, days after, still has me thinking about it. Because the other thing that that came up was the impact that peers have on your curiosity. And I since then I've been thinking, the people who break new ground in anything, art, science, whatever it is, invariably they break new ground because they didn't listen to anybody. They didn't care what their friends said, they didn't care what their colleagues said. Their mind said to them, this is worth looking into, and they just went for it. And then people say, why didn't I think of that? Well, because you're too busy saying that won't work and don't do it that way, and we've always done it this way. And that one person just ignored all the noise and went and tried and found new ground. And
And we tend to get very rigid and like, this is the right way. This is the only way. But is it? Is it? That's not true.
No. And school, our schools do that. They teach us that for 12, 14, 16 years, however many years you stay in school. You got to get the right answer. Well, in a lot of cases, you do. In math, you do. There's no question. In science, to a degree, you do. In English, yeah, there's a way to structure a sentence, and you need to learn how to do that. But then there's the other side of that is, all right, let's learn how to do what is generally accepted as the right way. And then once you master that, then go play because you have that foundation and you know where home base is.
And always the what if question. What if I try this? What if I do it this way? What will work? And that curiosity, if you're not, well, and you're talking about groups of people, I think sometimes individuals, even if they're going on their own way, if they have encouragement on it, I think sometimes the right group of people around you who encourage you helps you to be more creative. I have a group of friends, when we get together, before long we're just bopping ideas off of each other. Let's try this. Let's get together and play with this. Let's do this. And then I can't stop thinking about things I want to try and play and do. And that may I think that makes the difference, you
Yep.
know, too,
And
having that
yeah.
encouragement.
Yeah, and the role of parents is huge, because I can't tell you how many designers I've talked to, and it either comes up directly or indirectly, that they had parents, supportive parents, who let them take a shot. And of course, if you're a teacher for very long, and you have, there's always really good kids, and there's a whole bunch in the middle somewhere in a spectrum, and then you have some troublesome kids. Why is this kid like this all the time? Meet their parents. Because you'll have your answer in a heartbeat, and good or bad. And but yeah, several designers, you can tell their parents put before them opportunities to explore and let their minds go to work without always putting a roadblock up. And the end result is then they find a way to express themselves that's quite striking. Yeah.
And I think too, sometimes with having the right tools, giving your kids the right things to use, and allowing them to use them. My daughter was talking when she was home. She goes, "I never realized how lucky I was that we always had art supplies around." And I did. You know, if she wanted to play with something, she's like, "Yeah, I'm really curious about this." We would go and, use our 40% off coupon and go buy oil pastels, and we'd play with oil pastels for a while. Or with the library, our local library had a lot of supplies, and we would go and play there. And I think those being able to just have those materials and play with them and not letting them be sacred. I think Jennifer Clauston said something, use what you have.
Yes.
And so did Jane Dunwall.
Start where you're at and use what you have.
Right. And
Yep.
Jane Dunwall said it too. We have all these tools in our studios. Why not use them? And as needle artist, I'm a thread collector. I love threads. So why don't I use them?
Yeah, because if you're not going to use them, put them in a glass case and put a light on them or something, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Might as well,
Right.
but seriously, that use those tools. We have these wonderful opportunity for all these tools, and we could just play with them. But I think it's this adult feeling. We all have a certain amount of time we can play, but we need to give ourselves permission to use that time to
Yeah.
play and use it in our needlework.
Yeah.
And to be curious about the tools we have, the threads and
Yep. Yeah,
everything,
there's all kinds of
fabric.
opportunity, but you gotta make the conscious decision to do it, and you gotta keep reminding yourself to do it till it gets to be some kind of a habit.
Right,
Yeah.
right,
And
right. And
that's
that's why I liked your idea of your 100-day project of just getting a doodle cloth out and just stitching.
Right. Have I done it? No.
No, but I think I've thought more about it because I've been working on my 100-day project, and it makes me think about your 100-day project. And I thought, that I like that idea of just having something set up so you could just go play.
Yeah.
And I think if when I finish this 100-day project, that might be my next one, because it would be a good one just to say, okay, I'm gonna just pull out a few threads and see what I can do with these.
Yep. And you ha yeah, we all have the threads.
We have the threads
We
and I
all
have the
have
fabric.
them. Yep. We all have them. So, okay, well, there we go. Maybe we generated some thought-provoking things there. I don't know.
I hope so.
Maybe you and I need to set the example
Right.
for the people.
So we're gonna pull out a doodle cloth
Yep. And do something on it.
and do
Anything.
something on anything.
Anything.
Well, actually, I'm gonna pull out a 30 count piece of fabric, and I'm gonna be seeing if I can figure out that silly stitch on it.
Okay.
That'll be my doodle.
All right.
That'll be my first doodle.
We'll look for the posts.
All right.
Right, we're gonna call it right there. Okay, so join us tonight with Ronnie Rowe at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and Sunday, do not miss Trish Burr. Great time, always a great time with Trish Burr. There we have it. Thanks.
Bye.